Scroll to Bookstore.
Portions of this program may be pre-recorded.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these three stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much again for joining us on Let's Face the Issues today. It is my prayer that you've tuned in, that you'll invite others to join in the broadcast each and every day as we talk about current issues from a central biblicist worldview. And you've heard me say before, and may I say again, at the risk of redundancy, everything that we see taking place locally, statewide, nationwide, internationally, and globally, we need to view it from the prism of the Word of God. God's Word is solid. You know, by the way, you don't have to go back and modernize the Bible. You don't have to go back and one of the things that's a pet peeve of mine is we got some 400 or 500 different, translations or versions of the Scripture. We don't need but one. And I find the King James is the most apropos, and it's a solid word study, if you will. But the Scripture doesn't need to be updated. God is speaking to us in Genesis 1:1 through Revelation 22:21. God's speaking to us in a progressive revelation of himself to man. What God is saying in the Word of God is telling us what God has done in the past, present, and what he'll do in the future. And when we look at what God is going to be doing in the future, we're seeing signs of it, indications of it, even today. When would you have thought in America that we would have such a dark spirit in relationship to morals, ethics, and values that you will find thousands applauding an assassin? Thousands of human beings in America that are applauding and saying good things and praising the one that murdered Charlie Kirk. I find it is absolutely sad to see that taking place. But ladies and gentlemen, the thing that we need to recognize and understand is that it's happening on a proliferating, increasing basis. In fact, looking at a headline says, network politician or political analyst suggests Charlie Kirk deserved to be shot. MSNBC political analyst Matthew Dowd suggested on last week that Charlie Kirk's rhetoric made him a natural target for violence. Dowd argued that Kirk's hate speech inevitably led him to being shot. He's been one of the most divisive, especially divisive, younger figures in this, who is constantly sort of pushing this sort of hate speech or sort of aimed at certain groups, Dowd said. And I always go back to hateful thoughts lead to hateful words, which then lead to hateful actions. Saying these awful words and not expect awful actions to take place, he commented. Ladies and gentlemen, he's not the only one. You've had those. In fact, I'm reading an article now that's frightening. A Hamilton County judge, Ted Berry, on Charlie Kirk's assassination. How does he feel about gun violence and gun control now that he's in hell? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine a judge that sits in the position of adjudicating right and wrong from the bench? This article reads in part, Hamilton County Municipal Court Judge Ted Berry is facing increasing calls to resign and has already been removed from an advisory post at the Barlow Foundation after social media comments that critics say celebrated the assassination of conservative activist Charlie Kirk. Local and state officials called the remark, which included language such as rest in hatred and division now. And he goes on, the judge, this article reads, that a judge must be a pillar of fairness and impartiality in the community. To see a sitting judge post comments like rest in hatred and division now, and how does it feel with the gun violence and the gun control now that you're in hell, and then celebrate the race of killer by saying, so white guys like him, color is karma. Shocking and completely unacceptable. And it goes on and on and on, three pages in relationship to a judge and what the judge is saying with hateful, animus remarks about the death of Charlie Kirk. Another one, ladies and gentlemen, that frightens me more than any of the thousands and thousands that have been posting and that have been reported on their comments praising and celebrating the death of Charlie Kirk. Secret Service faces new scrutiny after a Secret Service agent cheers Charlie Kirk's murder. Senator Marsha Blackburn sent a letter to the Secret Service Director Sean Curry Thursday demanding the immediate firing of a special agent who argued in social media that Charlie Kirk deserved to die. And it goes on and on with the article in relationship to that. And it's teachers, professors, politicians, judges, and I could go on and on and on, ladies and gentlemen, with the background of those that are doing that. One says, high school teacher sidelined over Kirk remarks. They're dropping like flies. Another leftist has just been relieved of his job thanks to insensitive remarks after the assassination of conservative icon Charlie Kirk. This time it's a high school social studies teacher from Greenville, South Carolina. And it goes on and on with the details of what that teacher said. Ladies and gentlemen, we're living in a depraved, darkened society. And I am not, in any way surprised by it when you see what is taking place in some of the societal niches in America and around the world. And one of the things that I find that is so frightening to me and that should be concerning for every Christian, every conservative, every patriot, is the fact that most of this animus and hatred is coming out of those online and those social media platforms which carry the spewing views of the Socialist Marxist Communist Party, the Democrats on the left, and it's the spewing of those that are coming out of the LGBTQ sodomite agenda, the spewing of those that are the transgendered. And by the way, if I can just do a little footnote to that, if you've got a stupefied mind that you're already in a state of a psychotic delusion where you believe that you can change your DNA and go from a male to a female, you already have a problem. But that's the group, as I have read and researched, that Charlie Kirk was in touch with on the social media on a very, very broad basis. Not Charlie Kirk. I go back to it again. Tyler Robinson, the shooter, was in touch with on a very broad basis of those in that category. Ladies and gentlemen, he was living with a transgender man that wanted to be a woman. And as a result of Charlie Kirk's position saying that God created two genders, male and female, God did not create a transgendered person. Charlie Kirk had made that statement several times on college campuses. So this shooter, this assassin, Tyler thought that somehow, some way, he would be relieving America of a major, as he called it, fascist, if he took his life. And that's the area, ladies and gentlemen, that's the group in predominance that's now celebrating the death of Charlie Kirk. I believe we have Jim on the line. Jim, go with the question or comment, please.
Good afternoon, Dr. Youngblood. How are you today?
Doing great. I pray that you are.
Doing well. I'm going to preface this, that anybody that speaks in regards to Charlie Kirk and says that he was espousing hate speech or that he was being mean or angry, I'm going to say it flat out, they have not listened to him ever one time to find out for themselves. They have listened to somebody else. I've read enough of his commentary and have made a point of going through hours upon hours of video with him talking with people, and never once have I seen that man raise his voice, call anybody by a derogatory term, threaten anybody, or say anything outside of, I pray for you and I want you to know. And that's his most, everything he said with love. So anybody that says that he spoke hate, they are listening to somebody else.
Jim, you're exactly right. One of the things that I can do is a little footnote from my position on it. I must tell you, and I've said this before in private, and I believe I've stated it on the broadcast, Charlie Kirk, in facing some of his greatest vicious, vulgar, filthy-mouthed detractors, showed more grace, more love, more compassion, more patience than I ever could dream possible in facing the same circumstances. And yet, when we measure that with what we see in the Scripture, look at the life of Stephen, Acts chapter 7 and 8, and find out Stephen was not speaking hate. He was just witnessing for the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was hated by those around him, and he was stoned to death. You look at the Apostle Paul. You look at, go back to the fundamental foundational first mention, and you look at the Lord Jesus Christ. He wasn't spewing hatred. He was standing for truth, because he is the epitome of truth. And in standing for truth, the Lord Jesus Christ, according to Pilate, said that they're crucifying Christ. They wanted to crucify Jesus because of envy. And it was envy. And I believe that's what you see today if you boil it all down to a biblical narrative. We're witnessing envy from the left, that they do not have that kind of brilliant mind, that kind of grace, mercy, patience, and love coming out of any of the political left, the Socialist, Marxist, Communist, Democratic Party. And they, out of envy, hated him. And they're all, whether they say it publicly or they've said it privately before, you can go back and listen to the words of Barack Obama, listen to the words of Otto Penn Biden, listen to the words of several of those on what is called The View, and what they've said. And I could go on and on and on when they're saying, you know, that Trump is going, and Trump and all of his followers, going to destroy our democracy. They've used that term, that Trump and all of the followers are Hitler. They've said of Charlie Kirk, he was just Hitler. He was an anarchist, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. One of the things that I'm concerned about, Jim, is that we see so much silence on the part of praise, accolades, and standing for Jesus Christ. Now, maybe a lot of these youngsters today that are standing for Charlie Kirk, they've displaced that and they view it as standing for Jesus if they stand for Charlie Kirk. What are your thoughts on that? How should we view that? How do you think this is going to bode in the future in relationship to the church?
Well, hopefully it wakes the church up to the fact that there are people out. I mean, Christ told the disciples there, be wise as serpents, but gentle as doves. Mm-hmm. And when he's telling them to be wise as serpents, he's telling them that because he knows the world and men in the world. And you shouldn't walk in blindly and not be aware of the evil nature of mankind, including within your own heart. So these are important aspects for all Christians to know. You can't insulate yourself from the world, but you must be aware of it. I'd like to add one more thing, too. If I had a dollar for every gender, I'd have $2 and I'd have a bunch of counterfeits for the rest. So that's my little joke for the day.
Well, the last time I read an article on that, supposedly there's 157 different genders.
Well, I'd have a pocket full of money I could start a fire with.
Yeah, absolutely. And yet God's Word says there are two genders, male and female, created He them, Genesis 1:27. And yet we have those that are spitting in the face of God when they deny the two genders, when they feel that somehow, some way, there can be a transgender process that can take place. And that's one of the things that Charlie Kirk stood against with love, yes, with mercy, and with grace. He said God created two genders, male and female, and he was hated for that. But, Jim, it deserves our prayer, our attention, and the recognition that we are in the last of the last days, and we're seeing this being high-profiled with the enmity being set up that hates Christians. And Jesus talked about it in John the 15th chapter, that if the world hates you, it hated me first. If the world's persecuting you, it persecuted me first. And we're seeing the fulfillment of that coming about today. And it shouldn't cause us to be discouraged. The purpose for me talking about things like this is to cause us to be challenged and encouraged to be the salt and light that God's called us to be. So, Jim, thank you so much for your input, and God bless you today. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone line is, telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. I'm looking at another article, ladies and gentlemen, that talks about those that are speaking out against Charlie Kirk. They must be fired. Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy, outraged by U.S. commercial pilots celebrating Charlie Kirk's assassination. President Donald Trump's Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy is urging major U.S. commercial airlines to fire pilots and other employees who openly celebrate last week's assassination of civil rights leader Charlie Kirk. In a serious post over the weekend, Duffy thanked American Airlines, United, Delta, and SkyWest for suspending the viciously vocal pilots, plural, but also pushed for their termination. It goes on to say, and I looked at the pictures of one of them that was with United, and he was one of the ones that was on the picket line when the pilots went on strike. And he is a part of the transsexual background and group and embraces that lifestyle. And he was the one that was calling Charlie Kirk all kind of explicatives because of Charlie Kirk's stand against the immorality and the transgendered group and the LGBTQ sodomite agenda that's being promulgated today. So, ladies and gentlemen, we go back to the fundamental basics, and that is, and that basic is that Jesus Christ was crucified for standing for truth. Stephen was crucified for standing for, Stephen was stoned to death for standing for truth. The Apostle Paul was martyred because of standing for truth. And as Christians today, we need to stand for truth, regardless of what it connotes, regardless of what others may say, regardless of what others might do. We need to still stand for truth and the realization and the recognition that God honors that in our lives. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at a headline. House Democrats shout no when Representative Bobart requests spoken prayer for Charlie Kirk. Now listen, I want us to understand that we see a marked difference. Now, I'm not praising all Republicans. Got some wretched Republicans in office, local, state, and national. But I want us to understand that there's the differentiation between them in this matter. When the request was made on the House floor to offer a prayer for Charlie Kirk right after he had been martyred for his faith and his stand, the Democrats started screaming, no, no, no. They did not want to even bow in silence for a moment. They did not want to have anything that would be called prayer for Charlie Kirk. And it took several, several minutes for the Speaker of the House to gavel the group to a modicum of silence so that they could have prayer for Charlie Kirk. I think it is dishonoring to the nation when we find that coming out of those that's supposed to be leading us. Let me read you a blurb of that article. House Democrat lawmakers could be heard Wednesday shouting, no, 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 after Colorado Republican Representative Lauren Boebert requested a spoken prayer for Turning Point USA founder Charlie Kirk, who was killed during the TPUSA, Turning Point USA event. It goes on to talk about his life and background and what was taking place. Ladies and gentlemen, the point that I want us to make and understand today is that we've got multitudes today that are praising the assassin, praising the open murderer. I don't think that I've seen this kind of agenda, this kind of mindset, this kind of furor in our nation in my lifetime. And as you heard me say before, I'm still under 100, but yet I'm appalled by what we see. It seems as though the mindset and the heart are darkening in this society in which we're living in. It reminds me, ladies and gentlemen, I believe this is an adequate statement as to what is taking place. Those that are in the LGBTQ, sodomite, homosexual, transgendered category, ladies and gentlemen, it's because they've got a darkened mind. The Bible is very, very clear. The scripture speaking in Romans chapter 1, verse 26, for this cause God gave them up to vile affections. Verse 28, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. It is, ladies and gentlemen, a fact that that is taking place, I believe, today. I believe Davis is on the line. Go over the question or comment, please.
Yeah, thank you, Dr. Youngblood. This reminds me of when Jesus was speaking to the disciples. He said, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and narrow is the way to lead to life eternal, and few there be that find it. It's so true. Look at the broad road and the destruction that people are headed down today with the attitude they have about the assassination of Kirk.
That is true. That, as I've used the term, that separates the strong from the weak. That separates the right from the wrong. That separates the left from the right. And, Davis, let me run this by you for a moment. I feel that I have a handle on what you would say. But what we're seeing is this shooter, Tyler Robertson. I don't want to give him accolades. I keep calling his name, but to separate the communication and for clarity, Tyler Robertson, the shooter, heavily involved in a transgender relationship, heavily involved online, as I've done the research, with those that are in the LGBTQ sodomite agenda. And yet we find in the scripture where God turned them over to a reprobate mind. And then if we want to understand what the scripture says to help us to better understand what we see taking place today with these mindsets, I'm going to read this to you. You're familiar with it, I'm sure. Verse 29 of chapter 1 in Romans, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, for knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. When you study the scripture there, as I understand it, Davis, the characteristics of a reprobate mind, and that's what we see, those that are standing in the streets, those that are screaming explicatives and profanities about Charlie Kirk, they have a reprobate mind. It means depraved, corrupt, immoral, degenerate. And this verse 32 of that, I'll read it and then ask your comment. Not only to do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Does that identify the crowd that we're talking about today?
Amen. 100% it does. And the thing about it is we got to realize this, that we even have some of those people in political positions in our government today.
We're eating up with it in our government today. Go ahead.
No wonder it's so messed up.
That's right. And no wonder we do not see any real push to change the trajectory of where we're going in our society with that. That category makes up about less than 4% of American society, and yet it makes up about 98% of the political policies that are set in America based on where they stand with the sense that we cannot say this, cannot make a rule or regulation or a guideline or a law because it might hurt somebody's feelings or trample on their sexual proclivities. And it's wicked, immoral, and may I be bold enough to say, Davis, in my opinion, it is part and parcel of what we see that's bringing about the decline of America as a society, as a nation, as a people. It is part and parcel of that that is causing us to be plummeted into the abyss that unless God lifts his hand and does something to bring us to reprieve, that I don't see any hope for America. And that's not doom and gloomish, but I'm just simply talking about, contrary to some saying, we're going to have a great revival in the last days. That is simply not happening. We're seeing the apostasy. We're seeing the falling away. We're seeing the dark clouds gathering because of what we see taking place that's running rampant, and it's becoming more and more visible as we see those that are on the left that are praising and giving accolades to the assassin rather than condemning it. And I see that coming mostly out of the loose likes lost left that I call the Marxist media and the Communist Party called the Democrats. Do you feel that I'm wrong, or is there an in-between measure?
No, you're exactly right. And my comment to this, to add to that, is will more Charlie Kirks please stand up?
Amen. Davis, thank you so much. You're exactly right. And for the benefit of our listeners, I'm going to put a little parenthetical Youngblood footnote on that. I believe we need to see more Christians, more Charlie Kirks, more Christians that will grow a spine, be salt and light. Ladies and gentlemen, God's called on us. The Lord Jesus Christ said, ye are the salt of the earth. Ye are the light of the world. Didn't say, I hope you will be. Maybe you will be. It is a command. It is a directive in the imperative voice in the Greek text that we become salt and light. And listen very carefully. In that same text, the scripture is very, very clear that if the salt hath lost its savor, it is, I'm going to paraphrase, it is worthless other than be cast out and trodden under foot. And the salt that Jesus is speaking about in that text is talking about the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think it's time for the church to stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen in unity and standing for truth, standing for righteousness, and standing against the wickedness that's in our society today. And it doesn't make any difference whether it's in local government, state government, national government, or international. We need to stand for truth and call truth, truth. Charlie Kirk was doing that. And I believe for every young American today, every Christian today, every pastor today, we need to recognize, we need to go back to the basics. And here are the basics as I see them. The last thing is we need to honor and recognize and commemorate not just Charlie Kirk and his life, but we need to do so in honoring and commemorating the Lord Jesus Christ. We're called to live for him. We're called to emulate him. We're called to stand for him. That is Jesus. We're called to follow him. And ladies and gentlemen, let me leave this final thought for us. We need to understand that it's the Lord Jesus Christ that died for us, that we might live for him. My question is, are you celebrating the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you celebrating the life, the ministry, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ as much as you're celebrating the life, the living, the motive, the method, and the death of Charlie Kirk? Now, I'm not minimizing his death. I'm not minimizing his impact on society. But I am wanting us to understand in a proper balance that we need to balance it on the basis that, especially as Christians, conservatives, we need to honor the Lord Jesus Christ, recognize him. And in our lives, we need to live for him. We need to be illumination in a darkened society. We need to be salt in a decaying world and stand for Jesus. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed to stand for Jesus. Speak the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Witness to others. Share the gospel of Jesus Christ with others as you might see them each and every day. Because each and every day could be the very last day that we have the privilege and the opportunity to do so. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.1.
An emergency message from the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews.
The enemies of Israel have hit hard. It's cities and people with a massive attack. Serious casualties are rising by the hour at hospitals across the Holy Land. I'm Yael Eckstein of the International Fellowship of Christians.